Good morning. Today is Tuesday, August the 9th. Fair is just a couple of days away.
Oh, boy.
Obviously, you don't have an FFA or a 4-H-er in the family this year.
I have a board member who has a mule running.
Yeah, but that's not that novel for him now, is it? No. Joining us this morning is the Eureka Humboldt County Visitors Bureau Executive Director, Tony Smithers.
Good morning.
Morning. Our quote this morning comes from Jean-Paul Oh, geez. I'm not a big existentialist. You know.
Give it a try.
He's the king. Okay. Our quote, freedom is what you do with what's been done to you.
Uh-huh.
See, you know, I don't mind Zen, but... little heavy for my little mind this morning. How you been?
I've been wonderful, thank you.
Yourself? How come? You been busy?
Been very busy. As you know, we're in a full swing of a very, very busy tourism season. Could be one for the record books. I say that every year, don't I?
Yeah. total number of visitors, total number of nights, total number of retail-oriented gross revenue generated in the county. What, when you say best, how does best get defined?
I have to admit that it's a very plebeian accounting of the amount of money earned by our lodging industry.
Okay, so bed tax. So there's a couple of different ways you can get there.
Right, and it's a good metric for how the rest of the, you know, tourism is doing. If they're heads in beds, then they're out there in the restaurants buying gas and whatever.
Is there consistency with them? We'll get to the real topic here after the break. Is there consistency in ratios? Somebody visiting California, do they spend the same percentage-wise in lodging as they do in attractions, as they do in souvenirs, as they do in food, as somebody, let's say, who's visiting New Orleans or St. Louis or
right.
Cheyenne?
You know, there's going to be some variation in that depending on the destination. I mean, some places, you know, if you go to Rodeo Drive, then your shopping spend is going to be...
Your percentage is probably going to be a little bit higher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In Humboldt County, attractions are mostly free or low or no cost. So you're not going to be spending money on theme parks and golfing and all the things that a lot of people spend money on when they travel. It's going to be more on your hotel and your dining.
So when you take that and extrapolate it out, how do you make those adjustments?
Well, we follow the experts. There's an outfit which has been following and tracking these numbers for many years called Dean Runyon Associates. And State of California Tourism Office has them on contract, and they produce these wonderful reports that we sort of go by, since it's a very, you know, difficult thing to figure out yourself.
So they do that with a statewide?
Right, and they have sort of regional and county breakouts.
Oh, okay, so they're doing the weighting,
yeah,
to be able to figure things out,
yeah,
for you.
And after a while, you sort of know, well, this is what our general, you know. Yeah, I was surprised to learn, for instance, that on the North Coast, most people spend nearly twice on dining what they do on lodging.
That's my motto. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We have returned with Tony Smithers. Tony, in rural areas such as where we are.
Well, we're rural? You're kidding
me. Rural, which is really rural. It's a hyphenated phrase okay. there. Are tourists now looking for different from what tourists or visitors to our area were looking for, say, when 30 years ago?
Right.
Has their experience, demand, or expectation changed?
Well, the short answer is yes. I mean, there's always exceptions.
Well, that's about as short as you can get, yeah.
There are always exceptions. There are always, we're lucky. We have a destination with a world-renowned icon, the Redwoods, which are perennial. At the same time, all these studies are coming out saying that the coming generation, the millennials, are not engaged with the outdoors as much as previous generations. You see all this advertising on television where the National Forest Service, et cetera, is trying to convince people that it's cool to go outdoors because they're seeing the writing on the wall as well. We certainly do. We're insulated from that somewhat because the Redwoods are sort of an icon that goes beyond just the general outdoors. They're an attraction in and of themselves that it's on a lot of bucket lists. But
true, but yeah. You still have got, 250,000 to 400,000 within a 3-mile or 3-hour drive? Yeah, maybe stretch it to 4-hour drive. That should be also.
Right.
On a weekly, daily basis. I mean, you talk to your buddies. You know, I had a little experience with the Last Chance grade, but you talk to your buddies. How many times have your folks in your circle been to Dunlore County? You know, have checked out Stout Grove? Or even Jed Smith in general?
Oh, sure. Everyone I know, we go there for events, but not for tourism.
not just to hang out.
Well, when I had kids, we went up there to go OSHA World.
But, okay.
my kids were smaller. I mean, I still have kids.
Right. But you talk to the regular Humboldt County or Dunlore County or Curry County resident, what was the last time you did blank? It's kind of like the San Franciscan being out to Alcatraz or across the Golden Gate.
Well, we have a little advantage there as well, too, for that little circle, is that not only do we have Redwoods, we have Costco.
true. There is a combo there, isn't there? Yeah, the magnet from the south drawing folks.
But the analogy holds true, and one of the things that we think a lot about is the rule of threes. I think that a visitor who's looking for an idea about where they want to go and spend their vacation time and money are going to be swayed when they see that there are three things that they can do on a trip. So we know we have one. We have the Redwoods. That's always a great thing. But it's always got to be – well, we talked for a long time about Redwoods Plus, the idea of Redwoods Plus craft breweries, Redwoods Plus local arts, Redwoods Plus you name it. I think we have to sort of go beyond that to Redwoods plus plus, or Redwoods and something else big, and then plus something, plus botanical gardens, plus
complementary to Redwoods, or completely different. Are you trying to get the same person here longer, or are you trying to get folks that there's something for Bob and something for Jane and something for Dick and
right.
and something for Janet?
I think anything that we do that is authentic to who we are would complement the Redwoods because it would be...
Sure, you can't fake it.
A real experience, exactly. But if at the same time it could widen the demographic of who's attracted to come here, that would be cool too.
We've had some folks in the last few weeks here... from the Eastern time zone. While the Redwoods were kind of cool, the ocean got the wow.
Right.
Kind of speaking to what you're saying, you know, the beaches and the trees.
Right, and that's a plus.
Or trees and beaches, sorry.
Right.
I got it backwards.
Of course, the marketer says, okay, we have 110 miles of fantastic coastline. We think it's amongst the best, certainly in the United States. But a lot of other people have beaches and coastline too. So,
but if you're hooking the three,
yeah,
nobody else has got the trees.
No, exactly. Well,
and the ocean,
the Olympic Peninsula in Washington would or Alaska, they would say, yeah, we got that.
Okay, so maybe the third is what?
I think it needs to be a cultural activity of some sort or a recreational It could be an amusement activity of some sort, but it's got to be.
So it wouldn't necessarily be the rivers.
No. I think because you're going with the redwoods as a sort of a gateway drug, you need to sort of spread out your categories somewhat. And
so, what would be the next thing down the list that's universal, or is the next thing the narrow niche that's specific to that party?
Right. Well, a lot of ideas have been kicked around. You may recall some years ago we were looking at the idea of a national heritage area to celebrate history and culture. And so I think there's still a lot of juice for that in terms of what we have to offer and what people are looking to see when they travel. So something that was historic would be really, really cool. Maybe
like the Victorians.
What about if we had a full-on restored Victorian that was decorated and furnished with docents, and you can go in and really immerse yourself in the Victorian experience?
You guys would just have to write a new lease for the office. Get into that building. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with the Executive Director of the Eureka Humboldt Visitors Bureau, Tony Smithers. Talk Shop presented by Redeck and CDH Painting. Tony, before the break, you were talking about rules of threes, or maybe guidelines of threes. And I think both of us concur that the trees and that the ocean, those are two wow factors.
Sure.
And you said cultural with the other. And before the break, I had said the Victorians. Okay, some for Victorians it would be, some it would be other things. Is there a universal number three, or is that where it becomes customized?
It's definitely customized. You know, everyone has their own particular interest, the kind of thing that they would spend time and money to travel to go and see. I mean, they want to go see the elephant, right? That's the old expression from the days of traveling circuses. So what is the elephant that we need to have out there for that people are going to want to pick up and come and see?
And can you, I would suggest, can you market number three? Because I think the trees are pretty well established.
Sure.
And it's going to be interwoven in whatever. And I think the ocean, maybe water, because I know, you know, you got some folks that are more excited about rivers than they are about the ocean.
Right, but water
is integrated in there somewhere, you know, water puppies. Mm-hmm. Okay, those you can pound away at and get an ROI and no question. Number three, though.
Number three, yes.
That's the wild card, so to speak. So how do you determine what number three is, or do you just have a bunch of number threes?
Well, we already have a lot of number threes. We have some wonderful attractions that if you're talking to the right person, an art buff, culinary tourist, that kind of thing, they're going to find a reason to come and call something a number three.
But can you reach them on a cost-effective basis?
That's the thing. What I think of when I think of a number three is it's got to have some wow factor. It's just like the redwoods. It has to stand up above anything our competitors have to offer. A case in point,
at least comparable. The other two will carry them.
A comparison you might want to make is over in Reading. I'm sure you've been out to Turtle Bay and the Sundial Bridge, which together, whether you love it or not, it's got some wow factor. it's an icon. People want to stop and see it. And so that's something that can be marketed. And I know that they do. I would want something we could say only in Humboldt, or only in the only place in California you're going to see is in Humboldt, or this is another great, whatever it might be. So we talked earlier about a Victorian sort of experience, and that I see is there's not a lot of that around there. Eureka is the Victorian seaport. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of knowledge and expertise here. There's a lot of artifacts shoved away in attics.
Well, and there's a lot of Victorian here.
There's a lot of,
I mean, Ferndale, they've done a great job, but I read something a little while ago that said more Victorians are in Eureka.
Oh, yeah. There's
just poundage. A lot of them are cut into apartment buildings and a whole bunch of other things also.
Yeah. Well, the Green Book has, nearly 2,000 houses identified.
Is that still referenced?
Yes, very much.
Grandma and Grandpa bought that for me. I think Grandpa died in the mid-80s. So, it's a neat reference, but that's still common vernacular.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's somehow neat.
So that's one idea. Now, another really exciting idea that has been floated by some very passionate people is the idea of what they call the Humble Bay Excursion Train. There are tracks that currently circle Humboldt Bay.
With railroad ties under them and dirt, and some without.
In various states of repair. So we're not saying this is going to be cheap. But also, the Timber Heritage Association over at Samoa have been working on the roundhouse there and machine shops, and they have got an incredible collection of rolling stock tucked away. I've been privileged to walk through and look at it. I mean, it just blows your mind. I've been to the State Railway Museum, and apart from the fact that, that stuff's all beautiful, painted and
maintained,
polished.
Yeah.
but the actual equipment that's here is comparable. It's amazing stuff. So this really cool concept that this group has been following for years is that there would be a excursion train that one terminus would be at Samoa, and the other one would come around at least to Eureka and maybe point south. Maybe it could go.
Yeah, I had heard at one point Scotia.
Right.
That would be...
Or even one step further. Is it Fort Seward? I forget where it is, but if it took you right into the actual redwoods...
So you could get a turnaround
established
at the other end.
Well, you might have to just come back backwards, but anyway. but the idea of going around the bay and seeing all the beauty, the water, the wildlife...
Well, kind of like the Madigat.
Right.
But in a train.
Well, it all works together because you can then you can create a circle tour where multimodal transportation kicks in. You can take the train around to Samoa, then you could get the Madigat back from Samoa. You can rent a kayak and come back from Samoa. You can have lunch at the cookhouse, see the museum. There could be all kinds of stuff woven into this experience. Stop at Blue Ox Mill Works and get a tour. All this can be really a full day's activity.
So you're seeing history.
History, technology, heritage. Yeah. And, as you know what they say, a full day means another night. And that's what we want.
Is there the money to invest in that?
Oh, of course not.
We'll work that angle when we come back. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It is 8:47. Back talking shop this morning with Tony Smithers. Tony, so if in fact, and I'm not questioning, history is number three. Real live, get your fingernails dirty history.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the sheep industry, the dairy industry, the lumbering industry, the fishing industry, whatever this thing is. To pull it off, you need to have structure. and infrastructure and investment to get there.
And a gift shop.
Yes, and an opportunity to realize revenue. That is called risk. What I'm hearing is a lot of structure, government infrastructure. Are there people out there who put money down for this kind of thing?
That is a really, really good question. Now, of course, in Eureka in the past, there have been public-spirited citizens who have invested in infrastructure. If times were good again, maybe there would be others. But we're definitely talking the realm of public-private partnership. Without local government...
Well, a railroad would never be able to... You know, it's a public right-of-way.
Right. I'm encouraged because some of the board members of the Humboldt Lodging Alliance see that a major attraction would be a good investment for their efforts and their funds, that it would bring more people here in the long term, in good times and bad, year round.
Developing a base.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I mean, guys like the really big money, you know, the Buffetts and folks like that. I know there are foundations, I know there's philanthropic, but those tend to be narrowly focused on specific segments of the population.
Well, also, it's one of those things where you have to have money to make money. So, you know, you need matching funds. You need
money. Yeah, they're not going to do the whole lift themselves.
Right. So, you know, locally, though, maybe we could manage what the matching funds or the seed money, whatever. Humboldt is a very giving place, and I'm encouraged. I think that something could be done with the right leadership. And don't look at me.
But yeah, that's why I'm wondering now if this is to go further, there has to be somebody as the point person who's not a railroad, who's not this or that, but somebody who sees the big picture and steps back, and it's not about them, it's about bringing everything together. That, you don't find those people retired just kind of sitting around.
No, you don't. There's a few names that spring to mind, which I'm not at liberty to share, but we'll see what happens.
Good. Well, and if folks do want to stay abreast of this, is there some place they can go, somebody they can talk to?
Well, the Timber Heritage Association is one, and you know they have events all the time. They have open houses out at the Roundhouse. They have their little speeder rides that are set up for people to take, which is a lot of fun. You know, and you see them in Old Town on certain events, so that's a good place to start.
And I'm sure they've got a website and all that kind of good stuff, too. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See ya.